Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
We've seen the story before.
Big news! The Athletic NBA Show will now bring you even more content through the Athletic Audio Plus. Subscribe now for a free 30-day trial via Apple Podcasts to listen to bonus specials, exclusive interviews, Q&As, and more. And after your trial, it's only $1 a month for access to all Athletic Audio plus bonus content across our entire network of shows. Check out the Athletic NBA Show's latest bonus episode now, only on Apple Podcasts.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
I do have a take.
Point of contention.
What are y'all talking about? Y'all hate. Stop hating. Everybody hate.
Welcome to Point of Contention, 5 subjects, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. I'm Zach Harper, that's Jade Hoy producing. Coming up on the show, draft day is here, blame pop, tampering season, play-in is here to stay, and we got new rules. In this corner, Bay Area legend, new homeowner, and author of 2 books about the Warriors dynasty. That's right, there are 2 books about the Warriors dynasty, both from the one and only Marcus Thompson. Marcus, do you think the new Kyrie 8s are trash?
You know what? The more I think about this, this is an incredible marketing ploy. I don't own a pair of Kyrie 8s. I'm interested.
Wow.
I can't wait to see them. I'm like, okay, now I want to see what they look like.
Stage social media events?
Wow. Wait, hold on. Like, this is actually working if they intended to do this. And I don't know that they haven't. I think they're, if Kyrie doesn't like them, I don't like them. Let's go with that.
Wow.
You can't buy the Kyries that Kyrie doesn't endorse.
Why not?
You can't.
But isn't that what the system,
what if you don't like Kyrie,
wants you to believe?
Maybe you don't like Kyrie. Maybe you do want the shoes he doesn't endorse. But then you wouldn't buy his signature shoe in the first place.
What if more people don't like Kyrie would now buy the shoe than the people who like Kyrie and would have bought it otherwise? Maybe it's a market test they're doing to see what,
right,
how many people don't like Kyrie.
Kyrie actually, he has a long history of very good shoes. His shoes have been some of my favorites.
Yeah,
that's the crazy part. Bangers,
yeah.
Why would the success that he's had with his shoes, culturally and with sales, would they not let him have say in it? Like, that's crazy to
yeah
me.
He's angry about it. He seems incensed. Incensed.
Because it's saged? Is that what you said?
It's sage social media event.
It's saged.
And in this corner, from the hard streets of Springfield, Massachusetts, Celtics expert and future author of the made-up book From the Mid-Range, Danny Ainge's Relentless Pursuit of Mediocrity. He's one of 400,000 people from Massachusetts that calls himself the Kid. It's Jay King. Jay, Biggie, Jay-Z, or Kyrie 8s?
Jay-Z. I'm a Jay-Z guy. Jay-Z's, he's the GOAT to me.
Wow. He's the GOAT to you.
J- Jay-Z is my GOAT.
Interesting. Yeah. We're just going to forget everything after the Black Album.
Yeah, I mean, there have been some swings and misses in recent times.
Okay.
He's not 6-0 in the finals?
He's not.
Okay.
He's more of a LeBron gets to the finals every time.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Okay. We can do that. All right. Speaking of finals, now that the finals are over, we have the draft. Jay, start the clock. Tonight's the night. That's right. It's finally time for the 2021 NBA draft. Tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Who's rising? Who's falling? Will the Pistons hold fast and take the great Cade Cunningham number one? So many questions, so much innuendo, more smoke than Tommy Chong's living room.
Hey, you want to get high, man?
That's how they do. They got wooden balls, man.
I got a joint here, man. I've been saving for a special.
And lies. There are lies everywhere amongst the conversations, as Kevin Garnett once said.
Anything is possible.
Marcus, look into your crystal ball. Who is the team to watch as we head into tonight's draft festivities?
Oh, you know what I'm going to say, baby. The team with two first-round picks and a desire to move up.
The Orlando Magic.
A team with two first-round picks and three superstars who are like, we don't want these kids in our locker room.
Markel Fultz, Cole Anthony, and RJ Hampton.
You better watch out for this team with two first round picks, three superstars, and a coach in Tokyo.
I don't even know who the Magic's coach is, right? Do they have a coach? I don't even know.
Gotti J. Lloyd Pierce is going to be on the Magic at some point.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, there we go.
I feel like obviously the Warriors are going to be players. But I also think clearly Memphis is trying to do something. I think that's a team you got to watch out for. It's the teams that are right there. Like, they could go from 9 to 6 or 7, 4 or 5. Those are teams that are good. They have a good enough base to build on to make it worth their while and some pieces. So Memphis, Indiana, Golden State, to me, those are the teams. Like, those who I'm rocking with, I feel like the established superstars, they're going to pump fake all the way up to the deadline and they're not going to do anything. And they're going to be like, we just going to run it back. It's the teams that need to make a move. So obviously I'm looking out for the Warriors.
Jay?
I'm going to go with Detroit on this one. This draft to me reminds me so much of when the Celtics had the number one pick. And everyone thought Markel Fultz was going to be their guy. And he took photos at TD Garden in front of the rafters. Like, he was very convinced he was going to Boston. The Celtics traded that pick, went down to number three, got who they wanted in Jason Tatum. I've talked to some people who don't think Cade Cunningham is the top prospect in this draft. And even though he's seen as the consensus number one, I wouldn't be totally 100% shocked if Detroit decides to trade down and take some excessive goodies to do so and get, you know, Jalen Green or Jalen Suggs or Evan Mobley, because those guys are all top talents too.
In addition to those people you talked to, how many of them were yourself?
Or Evan Mobley?
Mr. Jalen Suggs. Suggs,
I am a Jalen Suggs guy. I am a Jalen Suggs guy. But obviously, most people think Cade Cunningham is the best prospect in this draft, and some people think it's overwhelming. But I just think that it has shades of the Markel Fultz draft.
You know, the great quote from Troy Weaver when somebody asked him about fit, he was like, "They all fit. We won 20 games.
Right.
Like, they all fit."
I do think it's weird that I mean, I get why, and he may end up being that good anyway. So it's not like I don't see him as a great prospect, but it's weird to me that it sounds like the Rockets are not considering Evan Mobley enough, right? Like, and Jalen Green's going to be a dude who like puts up 25 a game in his career. Like, he's going to be an incredible scorer, but it's interesting to me that the Rockets have not been tied to Evan Mobley at all, Marcus, because it's like, well, we have Christian Wood. Like, oh, okay, you do. And?
Oh, yeah, what does that mean?
Yeah.
which isn't, that's a little, something's up with that, right? It feels
smoke screen.
You smell smoke?
Yeah, it feels like it's a little smoky in here.
Are you seriously just completely not interested in Evan Mobley?
Right. That's another reason. Another reason this has shades of the Markelle Fultz draft, because that year everyone knew that Lonzo was the Lakers guy at number two. They did not even consider anyone else, and that's why the Celtics knew at three Tatum would be available. And so I'm telling you, this has Markelle Fultz draft vibes.
I just don't.
I'm convinced.
I don't know. Like, it's tough to pull the trigger. Man, if you give up Kate, right, and he becomes what everybody thought he was last year when people were tanking for him.
Yeah.
Man, you don't. Do you recover from that? Especially if
that
you
is
get
true.
A dude who's mediocre.
It takes stones to do that.
Yeah,
it
to takes move stones. On from Kate at this point, especially with the people who would be calling to get him, right? Like, who's trading Kate to Bob Myers? Right, like, you're not, like, hold on, I'm not about to help the boy.
Right,
like,
exactly.
No, I'm not doing that, right? Like, so if these people are calling to get Cade, I don't know if, man, that would be, he would be gangster if he doesn't do it. He would be a lot like Jay-Z before pre-Black Album.
Before Kingdom Come, yeah. Here's the thing is that if Troy Weaver takes Cade Cunningham and he doesn't pan out, Jay, I don't think anyone's like, what an idiot. I can't believe he did that, right? Like, it doesn't become that situation. For some reason, we ended up having revisionist history on Markelle Fultz's failure. And I think probably because it was so weird the way he failed. But at the time, like, pretty much everybody was said, oh, yeah, you got to take Markelle at number one.
Yeah, and when you trade back, like the Trey and Luka Doncic trade, you look like an idiot when you move the opportunity to take a super duper star. And even though Trey has become Trey,
yeah,
and Trey has become awesome, you still look like an idiot. So, yeah, you have to be right if you move the number one pick.
Yeah, you got to get it right. Speaking of getting it right, they're not. Take two, Team USA back on track. Not buying it, guys. Team USA got their Olympics back on track with a 120-66 blowout win over Iran.
We're calling that back on track.
We're calling that back on track, baby.
Sparked by the additions of Devin Booker and Jrue Holiday into the starting lineup, Greg Popovich's U.S. team moved one win away from advancing to the knockout phase. They play Saturday against the mighty Czech Republic and Tomas Satoransky. Booker and Holiday played off the bench against France and after traveling to Japan directly from the NBA Finals. This is all in wake of the U.S.'s embarrassing 83-76 defeat to France in its Olympic opener on Sunday. Coach Pop bore the brunt of the blame for that loss. According to The Athletic's Joe Vardon, Team USA basketball players are grumbling about his San Antonio Spurs-style offense at the games. Jade, play the tape!
We're ready. What is this, everybody?
You're on camera?
Okay, what do you want? I'm so tired of this.
You have any regrets about not going smaller early?
No, are you coaching now?
Well, action, fire!
You should try not to do that.
I know that. Learned that a long time ago.
What went wrong for you guys tonight?
Action, smoke!
What went wrong for us?
Yeah, this afternoon. Sorry, I lost my...
They played better than we did.
What is it that you've seen from him and his success?
The ball went in the basket a lot. You know? Not trying to be flip, but that's what happened.
How hard is it?
You're serious. Anybody else got a question? Makes any sense?
I choose not to share that with you.
Does that not bother you?
That's a J.
Not a lick. Why would it bother
me?
I choose not to share that with you.
Cut. Oh, come on, guys. We've got one shot at this. Where's Jay?
Our guest is coming out right now, needs no introduction, but I'm going to give him one anyway. He's our four-time Taco Tuesday customer of the week. His brand new movie. It's called Space Jam, A New Legacy. Check this out.
Jay, what do you think will happen on Saturday? And the reason I'm not buying this as back is it feels like, let's say you're $100,000 in debt and then you pay your phone bill on time. That's what that win over Iran felt like to me. Like, yeah, you were financially responsible in paying your phone bill, but you're still $100,000 in debt. So, Jay, what happens Saturday against the Czech Republic? Can they get through to the knockout round, or will they be knocked out?
What the fuck? What the fuck is right?
No one with their insult the sticker believes
they're going to beat the Czech Republic. I have no doubts about that. they're not back. That loss to France, people can say whatever they want about France maybe being the second best team in the tournament or the best team in the tournament, one of the favorites.
Sure.
They had Gershon Yabusele playing crunch time minutes.
What the fuck?
They had Vincent Poirier playing key stretches in the second half.
What the fuck is
Those are two guys I watched with the Celtics. Two of the guys who were furthest from being NBA contributors on a Celtics roster during my time covering the team. And they're going out there and they're beating Team USA. This is not Team USA losing to an even close to talented team.
No.
It is Team USA flopping, Team USA playing Draymond Green and Bam Adebayo together for whatever reason, and Team USA being very, very not cohesive.
Yeah, Marcus, they lost. Like, okay, you beat Iran, but like you lost to Evan Fournier in 2-7. Like, I don't know what you're supposed to do.
We're not doing this. What do you mean? We're not doing this. We're not acting like as fluky as the Iran win was. Just as fluky as the France loss. No, I think we're way overplaying this France loss. I think we're way overplaying it. They're back because the reason they lost was offense. And I disagree. It's like paying your phone bill. It's more like you know, you can't find your range from three. And what do? You go take a layup. Iran was the layup. Damian Lillard saw some shots go in. People saw shots go in. Everybody made shots.
Yeah, because you're playing against Iran. There's no defense.
It doesn't matter. Like, that's all Damian Lillard needs. It's not like nobody's stopping Damian Lillard. Nobody stopped them. They just failed in a way that they control. So they are responsible for fixing it. Nobody thinks France is better than USA. They're not better. Like, Jay just outlined it. They're not better.
Count the wins.
They're not better.
Beat them twice in a row, though.
What? We count like a what? 3 years in between?
Like 2 years ago.
What the fuck?
A streak's a streak, okay? I don't know what to tell you.
Okay, so in an international play, we don't say the team that's more talented is better. But in NBA play, we say the team with more talent is better.
Had that work in 2004. Show me the gold medal for Team USA. Then who?
No. So
Tim Duncan, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Allen Iverson.
I thought you were talking about now.
Was that the year Carlos Arroyo ruined them?
Yes, Carlos Arroyo. So Tomas Satoransky can get it, right?
So you're saying those teams were better than USA because they won? Or did USA fail epically?
Failure's failure.
Exactly. That's why it's an upset. So we would have no issue then if they lost to a better nation, right? There wouldn't be an issue if the other nation was better.
There is no better nation. That's the problem.
If France is better than the USA, then there's no issue.
No, because you know the whole thing of like, oh God, what is it? It's one of those Avengers movies where some villain is like, we're going to come down here with every army we have and something. And they respond with, we have a Hulk, right? Like, we have a Kevin Durant. That's all it should mean. It should be us out there and Kevin Durant.
So
and
we're
that
better.
Should be enough.
So we're better.
I don't know. We're 1-1. And,
no,
the only
we're
win,
better.
And the only win we
we're
have
better
is Iran.
And we shouldn't lose. That's the point. We're better.
You're right.
And
we shouldn't lose.
And
we did.
Yes.
They're going to get bounced. They're going to get bounced by Luka. Luka's not afraid. Here's the thing. No one's afraid of them anymore. That's the problem.
I assure you, brother, the sun will shine on us again.
Your optimism is misplaced, Asgardian.
Can we talk about Greg Popovich's record with Team USA?
Fire him.
12-6.
12-6.
12-6. Chuck him. Chuck him.
There's an issue there.
There's a definite issue there. This is Tom Thibodeau ball? No.
Okay, what do you want? I'm so tired of this.
Team USA is a 4 seed. They're on track to be a 4 seed.
All right, I'll record this tape when they win a title.
Hey,
when they win the gold.
They
when
probably
they're standing
will
on
the
podium.
Title.
Nah, I want to hear that. Probably will. Nah, I want to hear that. You're...
They're all
right.
How about
win.
This?
We're
How about this, Marcus? You
flute.
Want it? You want it? They don't even make the medal round.
How about that? Satoransky's gonna end them.
Tomas, no, they can. No. They can still make the medal round if they beat, but they're gonna get knocked down.
Game one of the knockout.
I don't know who they're gonna play. I haven't looked who that might set up. I'm just assuming it's Luka Doncic and he's gonna put it on because he's not afraid, and that's the issue. is that nobody's afraid of Team USA anymore.
That's the part that I don't think that matters in the sense that, okay, nobody's afraid, and in the end, it's just basketball and they got to play. We got that. That means they won't be boat racing teams. I don't care what the reason is. They're better and they should win. Scared or not, you don't got to be scared to lose, right? Like, so to me, I'm looking at talent. They should not lose, period. They just should not lose.
And yet they do.
It should not matter how much Gershon Yabusele is petrified of Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant should just dust him no matter what. That's just how it should be.
You can't. You guys are making contrary arguments.
How?
Either because you're saying everybody else is better, which means it should be close. It should be tight.
No, it shouldn't. We have Kevin fucking Durant. It should be over.
You just got through saying so Luka can't compete with Kevin Durant?
He shouldn't be able to.
Luka can, but the rest of the roster should not be able to compete with anybody.
He should, yeah. Oh,
come on, man. Come on, man.
But name another Slovenian that's not related to Goran Dragic.
Let's go back in time.
3-on-3 Hoops seems like it's having a moment right now. The Olympics, you know, announcing they will start a new sport in 2020, Ice Cubes 3-on-3, or Big 3 tournament. Do you think it's good for the league, or do you think that it's kind of diluting the game of basketball from a 5-on-5 standpoint?
I think it's great for the league. As I understand it from the Olympic movement, you know, 3-on-3 basketball is to indoor basketball as beach volleyball is to traditional indoor Olympic volleyball. And so here's an opportunity for countries who aren't probably, don't have the depth to field a 12-person team, men's or women's. But with, I think the 3-on-3 teams are four players, with four great players from, and generally from smaller countries, are in a position to compete in the Olympics and potentially medal. I think it's wonderful for the sport, and same with the Big Three. In that league in particular with Ice Cube, I know he's very focused on NBA vets getting out there, having additional opportunities to play the game. So I'm looking forward to watching it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing AI. That's one of the things I want to see. I appreciate it.
My father was an inventor. A genius with anything mechanical. 9 patents, 6 pending. He dropped out of Harvard to get an education, he said. I grew up with the belief that the world belonged to him and that everything he said was true.
Look around you. How did America get this way? Land of promise, land of opportunity. Give us the wretched refuse of your teeming shores. Have a Coke. Watch TV.
Have a nice day.
Go on welfare. Get free money. Turn to crime. Crime pays in this country. Why do they put up with it? Why do they keep coming?
All I'm saying is it will play out exactly how we think. It will be tough games against the better teams, and they will blow out the simple teams because talent is what matters.
Men's team USA didn't even make the 3-on-3 portion of the Olympics.
They didn't even try, bro.
With Robbie Hummel. What are you talking about?
Who, the NBA players?
That's humiliating.
I choose not to share that with you.
Take 3. It's tampering season, baby. That was upsetting, Jay. Free agency doesn't officially start until August 2nd. But we know from past years, negotiations are already well underway and deals are probably already inked. If only the NBA treated tampering as thoroughly and stringent as it does instant replay at the end of games.
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea. It shouldn't take this long.
I would rather them miss a hostile act and us have flow to the game than them to be the hostile police.
You become hostile where they call hostile.
No, I'm just saying. Do we not in the league want any flow to our games? Is this really what we want in conference finals games?
The bubbles got to him.
No,
I got bubbleitis right now. No, the funny thing is we both agree with him.
Yeah.
According to ESPN's Brian Windhorst, the offseason will revolve around a long, complicated game of point guard musical chairs. One that could, league executives and insiders say, create moves and counter moves across the NBA in the wee hours of free agency. So, it will be free agency. Though not all technically free agents, many players fall into the mix once things get going on August 2nd, if not before then. Disgruntled stars like Damian Lillard, injured like Kawhi Leonard, scorned like 2-5 in Philadelphia, and simply playing for the Wizards like Brad Beal. Other names in the rumor mill, we've got Chris Paul, who will be a free agent, Lonzo Ball, who will be a restricted free agent, and John Collins, who will be a restricted free agent, who's looking for that max deal. So, Marcus, that crystal ball back out, why'd you put it away in the first place? What are you hearing from your sources, and what do you see happening when all this shakes out in a week or two?
My sources are currently with USA Gymnastics, as I write about the Olympics. It feels like the players under contract are the ones who are the first chips, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it feels like Bradley Beal has to make a decision first, which he's, you know, will do before the draft. Damian Lillard's got to decide to drop that letter off or not in Neil O'Shea's office, that I want out letter. Like, and then now you get the pieces moving, because if you want Alonzo, you probably want a Bradley Beal more, right?
Right.
Or Damian, you don't want to pass up on those opportunities. For me, those things have to happen. And what's interesting is LeBron seems back on the prowl, right? The Lakers seem back in, like, hungry again. Like, hold on. Now it's all about, okay, it feels like they're ready to cash in the whole team.
We're not pursuing Dennis Schroeder anymore. We're going after real whales. We're going after, here.
Right? So the Lakers are mixed. For me, that, even before free agency, is really going to set free agency. We got to figure out what's going to happen there. And I am very curious, because there's Bradley Beal, because there's Damian Lillard, what does this do for Chris Paul, who otherwise would be the big name free agent? I mean, he just came out of the finals.
He can't leave, though.
Why not?
If they offer him less money, he can.
He wants 4 years.
That's a lot.
He's gonna
want
a 4-year max, man. Yeah, like, he wants 4 years.
As the head of the Players Association, he can't take less money.
No, you can't. You got to set the precedent. Too bad of a precedent. Yeah.
So that's the pecking order for me: Dame, Bradley Beal, Chris Paul, and kind of everything else. We'll figure off that. Don't forget Zach LaVine, another guy. Like, the under contract guys are the real free agency here.
So, this will be in my mock draft on Thursday, so I'll say it here, and then it'll be on the podcast Thursday morning. So go check out my mock draft on theathletic.com. Daryl Morey apparently asked, I got this from a source and confirmed by another source, asked for Colin Sexton, Darius Garland, Isaac Okoro, and 3 first-round picks for Ben.
Hold on, say that again.
He asked for Sexland, right? Yeehaw! The Colin Sexton, Darius Garland.
Yeah.
Darius Garland, backcourt. Isaac Okoro, their first-round pick last year. And 3 first-round picks for 2-5 in Philadelphia.
You got to ask for a lot. And if you're even talking to Cleveland.
Price didn't go down at all, huh?
No, like, no. Well, not with Daryl Morey. Daryl Morey's like, no, this is a superstar. Like, you got to come correct with this.
Well, if it's going to be Cleveland, it's going to be a lot. Like, that's not, there's no, like, just straight up trade with Cleveland that makes sense. No straight up trade with Cleveland that turns Philadelphia into a championship contender right away. So you better ask for a lot. You better ask for a lot. I feel like that was his way of saying, no, this is not going to work out for you guys.
Right. Unless you're willing to go
absolutely bonkers here.
Right.
So I get that. To me, the guy that I'm looking at who could change a team's immediate future and is likely to leave, Kyle Lowry, man.
Yo.
Kyle Lowry is
New Orleans positioned themselves to go after him.
Yeah, that's where I don't want him to go, because I still don't think with Kyle Lowry the Pelicans are really much of a contender at all.
Wow.
But if you throw him on Philadelphia,
Philly,
if you throw him on Philly, if you throw him on Dallas, all of a sudden he changes
the Lakers.
The Lakers, he changes a team's trajectory. He puts them right back in the mix if they weren't in the mix already. In the Lakers' case, he would put them maybe at the top of the list. So Kyle Lowry is the one, to me, he's probably going to end up somewhere else. And wherever he goes, he's going to make a huge, huge difference.
In Toronto, in general, to me, is a team that is going to be a huge factor in how mm-hmm. these things shake out. I mean, that might be the most perfect place for Ben Simmons, right? Like, if they don't have to give up the farm to keep him. But if Siakam is gone and Kyle Lowry's gone, like, I could rebuild around to Toronto.
The thing I love about y'all, it's all about family. It's about family. It's about family and faith and loyalty. And that's what I think when every time I think of here. And so I want to thank you. Now, I tell you what, Edgar planned on bringing in 20 horses in here, but he couldn't get them in today. Tell you what, I've had people campaign for me. I've never had them go through the neighborhood with me on horses. But my dad, who was a real equestrian, would have really been flattered to know you're doing this. Folks, you look, it's great to be back at the center. And
it just feels like Toronto and Masai are going to do some things. Masai's going to work something.
Is
and
Masai
they're
still
gonna
there? Is Masai going to stick around?
He's sticking. What do you mean Masai ain't going nowhere?
I don't know.
Is he with the Knicks yet?
Not yet.
My bad. I gotta pay a fine.
Yeah, Zach. I just want to remind you that if you're going to refer to him just by his last name, that's just five.
I feel like 2-5 in Toronto. That to me makes more sense than 2-5 in Cleveland.
Yes,
a lot more sense.
100%.
Toronto's going to be a factor. They got the 4 pick that they can be flexible with. They clearly aren't in love with.
With Suggs, my God, like Jalen Suggs is so good.
I don't know. This is Jay's guy. I don't know. They don't want Suggs. They're ready to move off the pick.
Jay and I can't agree on anything, and we agree on Jalen Suggs. That's how good you know he can be.
That is probably
the first thing we've ever agreed on.
Or it's the most damning thing that could be said about him. I don't know. There's no in between. Right.
He's screwed. Facts.
Toronto could probably, I mean, they could be really good next year and just avoid the play-in tournament in general. Speaking of, take four.
Hold on. Would Siakam be a good fit for Warriors if they don't get Beal?
He helps them. I don't know about the fit. Him and Draymond together seems like, I don't know if he does enough other things. That if he could shoot, man, if he wasn't shooting.
Look, I think if he's not creating stuff for himself, I think it's a lot better.
That's a tough one.
He looked way better when he had dudes around him. When he had Kawhi
Siakam, the Siakam from the finals, that guy, you can put Draymond at 5, him at 4.
Right.
I'd take him. How about that? I'd definitely take him.
I wouldn't give up the
farm for him, though.
No, for sure. He wouldn't be the full Beal offer for sure. Not even close.
No. It would help the Warriors get out of the play-in tournament. Speaking of, take 4. Play-in is here to stay. The NBA's play-in tournament is back for at least one more season. As expected, the league's board of governors gave approval Tuesday to the plan that would bring back the event in April of 2022. Format will be the same as it was this past season. Teams that finish 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th in each conference will play to determine the number 7 and number 8 playoff seeds. Jay, yay or nay on the play-in tournament?
I'm cool with the play-in tournament. I'm not like gung-ho about it. I don't think we'll ever again have like the Warriors versus the Lakers. Like that was a one-time thing in a weird season where everything lined up for Steph and LeBron to play each other in the play-in tournament. That is not going to be something that happens often. It is not going to be the ratings bonanza it was this past season. It is not always going to be that much of a home run. That said, I'm not against making the 7th and 8th seeds win a game to get into the playoffs. Like this past year, like Jason Tatum had 50 points in a play-in game, and Steph and LeBron went at each other, and then Steph had to fight for his season against the Grizzlies. It was fun. I'm cool with it. I don't love it, but I don't hate it either.
I love it, actually. And not just because...
That's the correct take.
Not just because the Warriors... Like, I agree. That's like a one. That's an anomaly.
Yeah.
The Lakers-Warriors. But I thought it was great for John Morant to get that stage. I think it's good to see some young players get in. And also... We've complained for years about half the team making the playoffs, right? What this effectively does is make it six playoff teams from each conference, and everybody else is kind of extras, right? It don't really count unless you get the top six, which makes, you know, the regular season more valuable. It extends like the interest in the year, and also like the bottom of the conference are usually young and up and coming stars, and they'll get a platform. I think that's incredible. Ja Morant benefited from that stage, and it's going to help him. I like that opportunity for those young guys.
I would also add this, is that it keeps competition longer in the season, right? I don't like the idea that so many teams, like, I guess, you know, it's not the playoffs, but some people will say, well, now 20 out of the 30 teams get to be in the postseason, right? Which is not exactly accurate. The NBA doesn't consider the play-in tournament the playoffs, but it's still something.
Nor do we really.
No, nor do we, nor should you, but it's still like, all right, 20 teams are alive.
Could we keep it in the West season and get rid of it in the East? Because
that's a great suggestion.
No one wants to see the Pacers and the Hornets in a playing game. No one.
Well, here's the thing. If the Hornets had won,
a playing game, no one.
No, if the Hornets had won, everybody would have loved it because everyone would have gotten to see LaMelo on a big stage, all this stuff. And they got, because they got waxed by 40 by an awful Pacers team. Now we're like, well, that wasn't fun.
I mean, think of how great the play-in game would be next year when Cade is like dominating and, you know, beats up on the Wizards. You know, Cade and the Pistons.
The Rockets aren't making the play-in.
Cade and who?
Cade Cunningham
and who? The Pistons. Killian Hayes? Dennis Smith Jr.?
What?
Sadiq Bey?
Does he need anyone?
Yes, it's Cunningham. The Pistons. Nah. That team sucks.
He'll get him to the play-in game. Get him to the play-in game.
He's not a wizard. Poor choice of words. He's not a warlock.
Okay, well, Jalen Suggs then in the play-in game next year.
Nah, man. Jalen Suggs on the reloaded Toronto Raptors has got 2-5 up there. Oh, my God. He's going to be... It's going to be nothing but playoffs there. Top six.
Yes.
Jalen Suggs, six, winner. Winner. Say it right here.
Y'all going to be so mad when he's on the Warriors.
Jalen Suggs?
Yeah.
I'd be happy the Warriors. To see him on the Warriors. Yeah, I'd like to see him on a good organization.
A lot of people will be very upset. Yeah. A lot of people will be very upset.
At this point, get over it, everybody. Okay? If a team's well run, then it's well run. This whole like, oh, the Warriors, this, Warriors, that. Get over it. That's loser talk. Yeah, I said it. It's loser talk. Just like wanting to keep the ability to draw cheap fouls, which will no longer be a thing. Take five. We got new rules. As has been discussed before, the NBA will put in new rules and crack down on these non-basketball move fouls starting next season. That's the report of Shams Charania of The Athletic. Quote, NBA officiating staffs will be trained to identify and properly rule overt non-basketball actions to initiate contact with defender, such as offensive player launches into defender, abruptly veers off path, kicks leg at abnormal angle, or his off-arm hooks a defender. James Harden of the Brooklyn Nets and Trae Young of the Atlanta Hawks are two of the most notorious offenders of these non-basketball moves that get them whistles from the officials. So Marcus, yay or nay on this new rule change?
Yay again. Like, can we legislate defense back into the league?
Wow, it sounds like you're in the yay area.
You feel me? I represent the yay area. Watching this Olympic basketball, it's so beautiful. It is beautiful to see our American players drive and try to get a bump and shoot. And they look around and everybody's still playing. Nobody stopped for the call. Like, cause you know why? You're not getting that weak call. And the NBA needs to stop that. They need to legislate defense back into the game. And any move that gets rid of this, like, soft, touchy, like weeks get that out of here. And I'm all for that 1,000%. You should be able to play defense in the NBA. Absolutely.
I am going to be so happy the first time Chris Paul runs out of his way to try to draw a foul and they call a foul on him instead. I'm going to be so happy when James Harden kicks out his leg and the offensive foul is blown. I am going to be so happy when Kyle Lowry comes around a screen and stops and jumps backwards to try to draw a three-point foul. And you know what? The ref isn't going to buy it this time. This is the best thing for the game. This has been needed for a few years now, ever since guys really started to take advantage of the rules. This is a good move for the NBA. I'm so happy.
Here's my concern. Remember flop warnings?
I was just going to say this.
I think they're going to crack down on it the first couple of months, and then I'm worried it's not going to be a thing anymore.
As Jay was saying that, I was like, yeah, until the next time Harden does it.
I can't believe Jay doesn't want to see Chris Paul in that like freshly sewn Knicks uniform drawing these fouls. That's just weird to me. I don't know.
That they're just like the rip through the like there's just some moves that just need to be taken out of the game. Like if you can't do it playing pickup without getting people are like, what are you doing? Right? Like you shouldn't be able to do it. Nobody playing basketball does the side to side swipe. Only in the NBA.
Right.
Like all those type of things. Nobody comes off a screen and literally just stops. Nobody running from jumps in front of a moving target and then stops.
Yeah.
Like you don't do this stuff in basketball. They got to get rid of it, but I do worry that it's going to be one of the things we hype about. Like, how many times have you seen a dude throw a ball at the stanchion in anger? Remember you couldn't do that at all? Now it's like, it used to be automatic tech. Now it's like, we kind of understand.
This is
what's going to happen. They're going to hit Trae Young a couple times, but by March, he'll be doing it again and everything will be fine.
It's going to be back in the playoffs. I do, even if they like allowed that other stuff, but they got rid of the jump into a defender. Right, like pump fake and then jump in a non-shooting motion into it. Like that, if that is the only thing that they rule out of this thing, I'll be perfectly happy.
That can't stay.
Yeah,
that just can't be part of the game. It's internationally, it's a bad look. Like it's tough when the Iran team is tougher to deal. You know, they ain't out here flopping. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like come on, Ahmed
Haddadi is nice. Is nice.
Yo, they was out there. It was physical. They was like, let's go. You ain't see nobody complain. That's the great part about it. There's nobody complaining and whining. They're like, let's play.
They avoided the double up, man. They played hard.
They avoided the double up, but they lost 120-66, and we're commending them.
They avoided the double up. They had a scratchy claw.
God. This is infuriating. You don't have to pretend that Team USA is great anymore, okay? I'd like to make Team USA great again. Wait. You know what? Let's just end it right there. That's going to do it for this week in Point of Contention. Don't forget to subscribe to all the shows on the Athletic Podcast Network, Warriors Plus Minus, Anything is Potable, Sixers Beat, No Dunks, and so many more. For Jay King, for Marcus Thompson, for Jade Hoy, I'm Zach Harper. See you next time on POC and subscribe to The Athletic.
Yo, your face was so straight that I was like, what is happening?
Okay, what do you want? I'm so tired of this. Okay, what do you want? I'm so tired of this. Okay, what do you want? I'm so tired of this.